The Gospel of John, chapter 15. And our text for this morning is the verse 7. We do remember the Lord is speaking to his disciples. And the Lord says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Another lesson. Another lesson the Lord is teaching his disciples about prayer. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I want to divide this message for this morning and then look at it again next Sabbath morning, Lord willing. Because there's something very important. Of course, all of God's word is important. But there is one verse here that can lead to a great deal of misunderstanding and misinterpretation. I want to deal with that as it ties in with our text, verse 7. But this chapter begins with one of the great I Ams of Christ. The Lord said in verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And here in these words, Christ declares himself to be God. He declares himself to be Jehovah. For remember what he told the Pharisees in John 8 and verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. When Moses, in conversation with the Lord, when the Lord told Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go, Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me? God spoke and said, tell him, I am, has sent you. And here the Lord Jesus claims the same name for himself, because that's who he is. He is God. He is the great I am. The Savior then goes on to teach his disciples that they and all who were in Christ are like branches in the vine. And of course, just like any husbandman and vine dresser, God expects his people to produce spiritual fruit. Look there at the verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth much fruit. And of course, just as we said, like any husbandman, the Lord God of heaven expects his people to bring forth spiritual fruit. But then when we look at that verse too, for some people, those words sent forth to them a great difficulty. The Lord said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Mark the words. Every branch in me. So the Lord is speaking about those who are in him. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Did the Lord mean that if any of his children failed to produce fruit, he will take them away? Did the Lord mean, and did the Lord teach, that a soul in Christ, that find itself out of Christ and cast away from Him? Was the Lord then teaching here that it is possible for a Christian to be cast away from Christ? Was the Lord here teaching the doctrine of being saved and lost? Every branch in me, that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. The Lord was not teaching that. The Lord was not teaching erroneous doctrine, been saved and lost. That's not what the Lord was teaching. But those who hold to that doctrine, they like to quote this verse. They like to quote this verse and say, see, any branch that is in me and beareth not fruit, He taketh away. There's no such a teaching in the Bible as saved and lost. The Lord said in John 10, verse 28, I give unto them, eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall I take them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Lord means what He says. And the Lord tells us that any one of His children, no matter what happens to them, they shall never perish. Again, the Lord said in His great high priestly prayer, those that Thou gavest me, speaking to His Father, those souls that the Father gave to the Son, those that Thou gavest me, listen, I have kept. And none of them is lost. None. The Lord says, but the son of perdition. The son of perdition was Judas Iscariot, and Judas Iscariot was never in Christ to start with. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. And Paul said in Romans 11, and verse 2, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. Those that He had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, He has not cast them away and never will. All that the Father gave to Christ, the Lord says, I have kept. None of them is lost. So since the Lord is not teaching a saved and lost doctrine, what did He actually mean then? He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. What did He mean? He's definitely speaking about those who were in Christ, every branch in me. He's speaking about those who were in Christ. He's speaking about God's people. He's speaking about His children. If you like, He's speaking about Christians. Every branch in me But the words, he taketh away, has an interesting meaning. Anyone to have a completely different view to what they perhaps have believed these words to teach. Those words, he taketh away. Those words come from one Greek word. That one Greek word is aerio, A-I-R-O, aerio. And what does that one word mean? It means to raise up. To raise up or to lift up. To lift up. We could multiply the examples. I'll just give a couple over in Acts chapter 20. We have the same word. In Acts chapter 20, and there we read in the verse 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up. Same word. Same word that you have in John 15 verse 2. Same word. Aerial. And here it is translated, was taken up. Revelation chapter 10. And there in Revelation 10, verse 5, the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven. Same word, aerial, lifted up, raised up. It's the same word. The word is also used elsewhere in other references, as was said, raised from the ground. In the verse that they take up stones, they took up stones to throw at Christ in John 59. They lifted up stones, same word. Also, to lift up the eyes. Or to lift up the voice. Same word, lifting up. So there's no mistake that the words here translated, taketh away, may be rendered raised up or lifted up. Now, look at the words. Look at the verse now. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth it up. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifts it up. Remember, we're talking about the branches on a vine. That's what the Lord said. I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth it up. You think of the vine. And sometimes such branches will fall over and fall to the ground or lean over in their land. And along comes the husbandman or the vine dresser. What does he do? He lifts it up. He lifts up that branch. And as Christians, sometimes we are down. Sometimes we're near the earth, we're near the world, and as a result, we're not bearing any fruit. What does the Lord do? Why, he lifts us up. He lifts us up as to where we ought to be. As the vine dresser will lift up that branch that has fallen down, he'll lift it up. and tie it, as it were, to its place where it ought to be, that it might bring forth fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth it up. Now look again at the verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, or he lifts it up. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. It's another word that's interesting. He purgeth it. That word itself is a word, is the Greek word katheros. So it's joined to the other word, ero. This word is katheros. So you can see there's a link between the two words. And what does this word mean? This word means to cleanse or to wash. To cleanse or to wash. You go over to Matthew chapter 8. And there we read in verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Same word, katheros, cleansed. Matthew chapter 10. And there we read in Matthew 10 and verse 8. He healed the sick, cleansed the lepers. Katheros, same word. Cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out devils freely. Ye have received, freely give. 1 John. And there in 1 John, in chapter 1, verse 7. But if ye walk in the light as he is in the light, ye fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us. Katheros, same word. There in verse 7 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Same word, katheros. That's the word the Lord used here in John 15. To cleanse. Now, here's the Lord, and the Lord is saying, I am the true vine. Ye are the branches. So we have the picture of the vine and the branches on the vine. The Lord says, ye are the branches. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he lifteth it up. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's the most beautiful picture of the loving care of our Heavenly Father, of the branches on the vine who is Christ. You have the picture then of the branch on the vine, and it falls over. It's not bearing any fruit, lying there on the ground. So the husbandman comes along and raises it up. Now, having lain there on the ground in the dirt, it needs cleansed, needs washed. There's the picture. That's what the Lord's talking about. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he raiseth it up. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or he cleanses or washes it. He washes it. And isn't it interesting what the Lord said in the very next verse? In the very next verse, now are ye clean. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You can see the link there. The branch has fallen over. He raises it up. He washes it, having laid on the ground. He washes it, and then he says, now are ye clean. Now ye are clean. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God cleanses the people of God. The word of God is likened unto water. For we read in Ephesians 5 and verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He washes it and cleanseth it by the water of the word. And here the Lord says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he raiseth it up, and every branch that beareth fruit, he washes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You're being clean by. You know where you live. You've been down there, next to the earth. You've been down in the world. You're not bearing fruit. But I will lift you up. And you give heed to the word. Live by the word. And the word will wash you. And have you to live aright. That's what the Lord's teaching. So the husbandman lifts up the branch, washes it, puts it back in its proper place, that it may bring forth more fruit. So instead of looking at this portion of Scripture, looking at that verse 2, and seeing there harsh, hard dealing with branches, cutting them off, casting them away because they do not bear fruit. Why, the very opposite is true. We have instead the kind and gracious and gentle work of God. When we're down, he lifts us up and washes us. Why? That we may bear fruit, and indeed bear more fruit. That's what the word means. There's no saved and lost doctrine here. Nowhere from Genesis to Revelation. I give eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. So the Lord here is speaking about his people, his children, and being part of the vine, that is being a branch in the vine, which is Christ. The Lord here then sets out for us some of the privileges of being in the vine. And one of those privileges has to do with prayer. As we read in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words, see, there's the word again, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. There's one of the great privileges and blessings of abiding in Christ, of being a branch on the vine, and Christ is the vine. The Lord says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So here again we find the Savior encouraging his disciples to pray and teaching them something more about the subject of prayer. I want us to, first of all, regarding why we have longer in the introduction, it's important. My first point this morning is the conditions for answered prayer. The conditions. And the Lord sets them out here. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. There's the condition. Then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. It is encouraging, of course, to read the words in the second half of the verse. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Say, those words are very encouraging. But we can't leave out the first part of the verse. First part of the verse is, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask. Have to abide in Christ first. And his word must abide in us. That's the Lord sets out the conditions for answered prayer. The Lord informs his disciples what those conditions are. The conditions that are attached to the promises. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. First of all, regarding the conditions, the Lord here speaks about the link with the Lord. Speaks about a link with the Lord. If ye abide in me, there's the link. Notice the importance of the word at the beginning of the verse. If ye abide in me, it's been often said that the word if is a very small word, but it has a very large meaning. So it is here. So if someone is not linked or joined to the Lord like branches to the vine, then they cannot expect answers to prayer. Know what the Lord's saying. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But the condition is, we must be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you can't expect answers to prayer. Something which is acknowledged by others, even by unsaved people. You remember the man who was born blind? You remember how the Pharisees hunted and hounded him? And in hunting and hounding him, they were criticizing and condemning Christ. That man said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Him he heareth. And here the Savior reveals that will of God. What is the will of God? The will of God is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. The will of God. That is the way of God. to the place. Now we all will pray that there are times we will really pray whenever there's a particular need. I often wonder about those politicians. You know, something happens, there's a tragedy or something. Well, you're in our thoughts and in our prayers. And I often wonder, how many of them do pray, I wonder? It's just a cliche. You're in our thoughts and in our prayers. And of course, even the unsaved, whenever they have difficulty, they will pray. Pray for help. But here the Lord says, we must abide in Him first if prayer is to be answered. So now is the time. Now is the time to search hearts and see, am I in Christ? Am I really in Christ? Am I part of the vine? Am I one of the branches in the vine, which is Christ? Because if I'm not, I can pray till I'm blue in the face. The Lord will not hear me. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. If we need to make sure we're in Christ. There's not only the link with the Lord, there is here also the life in the Lord. We know that the branch gets its life from the vine itself, from the root of the vine. And the Savior emphasizes that. Look at verses 4 and 5. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It needs to be part of the vine. Cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. Nor can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And so the branch gets his life from the vine. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. And then the Lord say, come that ye might have life. The branch doesn't have life if it's not in the vine. That's where it gets its life from. And the Lord says, I am come that ye might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. So spiritual life comes from and through Christ. So then, that raises the question. How did we come to be in the vine? We were born sinners, shaping in iniquity. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We didn't have any spiritual life. So then how did we become branches in the vine? Take that word branch or branches. It's a word which signifies a cutting or a slip. Back to my school days, I remember the teacher bringing us outside into the garden area He was going to graft a branch onto another plant, let's say a bush. And he brought a sharp knife out and he slit the bark, the branch. And then he had this other slip of another plant and he slipped it into that cutting. And then he tied it up nice and tight. A few weeks later, he would bring us out into the garden again and have a look at that branch. And lo and behold, it was growing. No, the leaves weren't dead. The leaves were nice and green. Life from the bush that was grafted into. We have been grafted into Christ. If you go over to Romans chapter 11, and Paul deals with that very thing. Romans 11, here he speaks about the Gentiles being grafted into the church. In Romans 11, verse 16, "For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." Branches get the life from the root or from the vine, or in this case, the olive tree. But that's where the branch gets the life from. Verse 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree." You're grafted in amongst them. Paul's dealing here with the Gentiles being grafted into the body of Christ along with the Jews. You're grafted in amongst them. That's where you receive the life. And hear the Lord likens us to branches. And as branches, we've been grafted into Christ. And just like that slip was grafted into a branch in another tree, it becomes one. We are now one in Christ. We're part of his body now. We're part of the body of Christ. Members of his body. Listen, members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Ephesians 5:30. Members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. You can't get any closer than that. We're one with Christ. That's where our fruitfulness comes from. Comes from Christ. But notice something else here. Those verses 2, 4, 5, and 6. And what do you find? Remember, this is the Lord speaking, and he's speaking about the relationship between Christians and himself, between his children and himself. We are the branches and the Lord is the vine. And as we have just seen, we're now one. We weren't always branches, but we were grafted into Christ. Now you look at those verses 2, 4, 5, and 6. Branches mentioned twice in verse 2, again in verse 4, again in verse 5, and again in verse 6. Five times the word branch or branches is mentioned. We all know what the number 5 means in Scripture. It's the number of grace. And the Lord himself used the word branch 5 times. And what does that teach us then? We have been grafted into Christ by the grace of God. Did we deserve to be part of the vine? Not at all. No. We deserve to be gathered and cast into a fire to be burned. That's what we deserved. But by the grace God, we were grafted into Christ, and now we are one with him. And the Lord expects us to bear fruit, to be spiritually fruitful believers. And the Lord is speaking about abiding in him, being part of him. And he says, if ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That's one of the privileges of being part of Christ. Being part of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. That shows you how ridiculous and unscriptural that saved and lost doctrine is. We have seen here that we become part of the body of Christ. And if the Lord is going to cast some of his children away from him, what is that? That's amputation. He's going to cut off part of his own body. Which we know is, of course, is completely ridiculous. No, we are part of him. And the Lord says, ye shall ask what ye will. That's some privilege, isn't it? Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So there must be a link with the Lord. And then there is life in the Lord. And this morning, we'll finally look at the law of the Lord. The Savior said, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. The word abide that is found 9 times here in these words of Christ is a word which means to remain or to reside or to continue. If my words abide, if my words remain in you, if my words continue in you, if my words reside in you, then you shall ask what ye will. So first of all, the word is to reside in us. This is what the Lord expects to find in his people. If he's to answer their prayers, if he is to answer his people, then the word of God must be in the heart and the mind and the soul of his people. That's what he expects. That's what he says. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will. The unconverted, of course, have no desire to have the word in their heart. That's what the Lord said. The Lord said in John 5 and verse 37, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. Ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. You don't believe the Lord says. You don't believe in me, the Lord is saying. You have not received me. You don't accept me as your Savior. And you don't have the Word abiding in you. That's the ungodly. The unsaved don't have the Word abiding in them. Why? Because they're dead. Spiritually dead. And we know the Word is a living Word. The Christian surely must love the Word. Must surely fill his mind and his heart and his thoughts with the Word of God. That's what the Lord is saying. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. The word dwell is used 5 times in the New Testament. And it means, it refers to dwelling in a house. It's a word they use to talk about someone dwelling in a house. So the heart of the Christian, the soul of the Christian, the mind of the Christian is like a house. A house that we dwell in. Only this, the Lord says, the word must dwell in you. The way you dwell in your house, the word of God must dwell in your heart. And dwell richly, the word richly means abundantly. Abundantly. So as believers, we are to fill our minds with God's word. We are to saturate our minds with God's word. The word is to reside in our hearts. As we said, the word also means to continue. So as well as the word residing in our hearts, the word is to remain in our hearts. The Lord expects his people to hear his word, not to cast it away. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, abide in my. Do we keep the Lord's commandments? It is a sign that we love the Lord. The word can't just disregard the word, some word that we don't like. No. Pick and choose. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and we as believers are to keep his word in our hearts and live by the word. Live by the word. David said, Psalm verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. God would keep David from sinning against the Lord. So how can the worldly, fleshly, carnal Christian expect the Lord to answer their prayers if they're not living by the word? And if they don't have the word dwelling richly in their hearts, if they don't have their mind filled with the scriptures, and of course, if you have the word in your heart, if the word of God dwells within you, then you will know about what to pray for. The word will lead you in prayer. You'll know what to pray for. The word will tell you. The Spirit of God will apply the word, and you'll know what to pray for. answers will come to the believer who seeks to live a holy life for the Lord. The Word of God that will lead to a living a holy life. Who's carnally minded and worldly, and lives for the world, lives for the devil. How can that person expect answers to prayer? No, the Lord says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Holiness of life will only come through love for the word and through holy living. We'll see answers to prayer. The Lord said to them for his people. And this I'll close today. John 17, verse 17. The Lord praying to his heavenly Father, and he was praying for you and me. Isn't that wonderful? He was praying for you and for me, for he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them. Make them holy. How? Through the word. And here, speaking to his disciples about answering their prayers, he reveals to them the importance of the word of God and the important role the word plays in the heart and in the life of the Christian. As we read in verse 3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken to you. If ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We'll continue this, Lord willing, next Sabbath morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O loving Father and gracious eternal God, we thank thee for the word that we have here before us. O Lord, may thy word dwell in us richly, abundantly. May we saturate our minds with the word. May we fill our hearts with the word. May we feed our souls upon the word. Lord, be with us today. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Even now, the air are gathering to steal away the good seed of the word. But Lord, by thy grace, help us to hide it deep in our hearts, beyond the reach of the evil one. Be with us, Lord, throughout this day. Be pleased, Lord, turn us to thy house this evening. We might learn more about our Savior. Grant everyone now, dear Lord, traveling mercy. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus God and the Holy Spirit abide and forevermore.